you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn with me to the book of Ephesians. It's a change from what's in your bulletin. Ephesians chapter 4, page 1244, if you're using the Pew Bible. And we're in a series called Since You Asked, and we've been letting you pick the topics for the evening sermon. And tonight, our question is, why does the old man seem so strong? And so we're going to look at several passages that speak about the old man, the old self. And one of those is Ephesians chapter 4. Romans 6 is also mentioned, but since Claude is touching on that in the morning, we're going to look at Ephesians 4 to take a little bit different perspective. So this is Ephesians chapter 4, reading verses 17 to 24. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God and true righteousness and holiness. This is God's word. Language is a tricky thing. Stacy Hamilton reminded us in staff meeting of the great George Bernard Shaw quote, "The single biggest problem in communication is the illusion that it has taken place." And, you know, one of the really confusing parts of Paul's theology is this old man, new man terminology and theology. It's not uncommon to struggle over exactly how does that work. It's very similar to the law and grace struggle of, I thought we were saved by grace, but we've got the law. And Claude's been doing a great job on Sunday mornings leading us through Paul's teaching on that in Romans. But our question tonight is, what about this struggle? Because Paul does talk about an old man or an old self and the new man and the new self. And one, you know, there is this ongoing struggle between the two. and it does seem like sometimes that we've got split personalities. You know, it's like the old cartoons. It's almost like you've got the good angel and the bad angel on one shoulder. You know, that's not really what it is, but it does feel like that sometimes. And so why is it that the old man does seem so strong? If it's true, as Paul says, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. So you've got statements like that. And talk about that we are children of God, and at the same time, we still struggle with the flesh. So let's look at this and talk a little bit about what it is and what it's not from the Scriptures, and then talk about the struggle, and then I'd like to conclude by talking about what the Scriptures teach us about how to deal with that struggle and address it. So what is it? Well, these expressions, the old man and the new man, occur in basically three places in Paul's letters. One is in Romans 6. Paul says there, we know that our old self was, past tense, crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. Then we have this passage in Ephesians 4, this old self and this new self. And then the third passage in Colossians 3, do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. And so all of these speak about the old self and the new self as something we can put on and put off. Okay, so all of these mention this old man, new man, and each one addresses some important aspects. But note that first of all, this is not a pre-Christian, post-Christian thing. It's not as if the old man is you before you became a Christian, the new man is you after you became a Christian. It's close, but it's a little bit more complex than that. It doesn't refer to a split personality. We're not divided in terms of who we are. It's not like we're half Christian, half not Christian, half children of God and half not children of God. A lot of people view it that way. A lot of people think, well, you know, it's, you know, you can have yourself, you can be a believer and then lose your salvation. And it's a little bit, you know, they view the Christian life a little bit like walking down the street and you've got one foot up on the curb and one foot down in the gutter. And you're like, I'm a Christian. I'm not a Christian. I am a Christian. I'm not a Christian. You're up and down and up and down. You just hope you die when you're up, when you're up on the curb instead of down in the gutter. That's not what he's saying. In reality, this is a description of the Christian's life once they become a Christian. That every Christian has, in a sense, this duel that's going on within them between an old man and a new man at work within us. What I'm trying to say is he's not singling out certain people. This is typical for all Christians. Paul even says us, so he even includes himself in Romans 6. He says, we know that we have put off our old self. So Paul includes himself in this. Even Paul, writing the book of Romans, says, I've got an old self. There's an old Paul, and there's a new Paul. All of them speak of this as the typical Christian experience. So I think I mentioned this, if you've been in the Wednesday night study, I've mentioned this, so I'm sorry if there's a little bit of overlap, but that's the way it is sometimes. And I think maybe the simplest way to think about it is this, is that we have two problems, and the scriptures speak about it somewhat exclusively in these terms, but not completely. So, but we have a sin problem and we have a sins problem. Okay, sins plural and sin singular. And then again, the scriptures don't exclusively use those terms all throughout the scripture this way, but for the sake of argument tonight, let's just go with me, okay? We're going to think about sins as our actual transgressions against God, okay? Times when we have lied or cheated or stolen or, you know, our thoughts, words, and actions, okay? These are our actual sins of disobedience, omission and commission, real guilt, real charges, real accountability with God. And for this, we need cleansing. We need washing because we sin every day. Right? We sin every day and we come and we confess and we receive cleansing from that. But we also have a sin problem. And that's our sin nature. Okay? It's not just that we do certain things, but we have a propensity to sin. Our old man, our old nature, our sinful nature that's in me. We need forgiveness and cleansing from what we have done. But we need deliverance from who we are. But the great thing is God gives us a solution to both of those problems. Okay? The blood cleanses us, and as we're going to get to later, the cross is what God has given us as this metaphor. It's more than a metaphor, but the power of the cross is what we have to experience deliverance from our sin nature. Christ lifts the burden of our guilt through his shed blood. He cleanses us. Okay? We're justified by his blood. That's why Paul says in Romans 5:9, we have now been justified by his blood. In Ephesians 1:7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. Okay? But God also gives a solution to our sin nature, who we are. This old man. Blood deals with the guilt. The cross gives us deliverance from the presence and the power of sin. And so, and that comes into us, you know, when we become a Christian, God puts his spirit within us. Christ comes within us and lives within us. Okay? So, when we become a Christian, Christ indwells us, and that indwelling is when the change takes place. Okay, we are born again. The old man dies and a new man, a new spirit is born, a new creation is born within us. Ezekiel 36 is where we see a little reference to this, even in the Old Testament. Ephesians 36:26, I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And then earlier in Ephesians 3:17, Paul prays. This is a beautiful prayer. He says, I pray that, verse 16, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. So there is a literal indwelling of Christ within us, a new birth that happens within every Christian. That is not a metaphor. Okay? That is not a metaphor. That is a reality. That is Christian reality. Christ is born within us. We are reborn spiritually. And just as our old man was born in our natural birth, our new man was born in the spiritual birth. The old man dies at that same time. The old man died when our new man was born. Okay, that's the only way for it to happen. And note several things about this old man, this old way of living, separated from God. This old man is a false person. Okay, it's a false person. What do we mean by that? Well, it's not the way we were created to be. It's life apart from God. It's like someone saying, well, God, I was made to live in relationship with you, but I'm going to go over here and live separate. I'm going to do life without you. I'm going to try to be fulfilled, but without you. I'm going to try to be happy, but without you. I'm going to try to figure out my life in this world, but I'm going to do it without you. And because we weren't made for that, that's a false, created, manufactured self. It is... God never, it wasn't even created by God. It's something that we created. We created an existence apart from God. That's something we came up with. And so that's why we call it a false self. It's not that we don't experience it. We do experience. But it's false because it's not what God created. It's not what God designed. It's not normal in this, it's typical. But it's not normal in the sense of that's how what it means to be a person. The new man is who we are truly supposed to be. Okay, the new man that God gave birth to through regeneration is who we are supposed to be. Okay, now this old man, though dead, it was put to death in the cross of Christ. He took it. Jesus Christ took that old man to the cross and put it to death. Okay, he put it to death. That's why Paul says in Romans 6:6, "You died." We know that our old self died. Jesus Christ took the old self to the cross with him. Okay, but this old man still has pull. It doesn't have power over us, but it has a pull within us. We're not under the reign. We're not under the dominion, but it has a pull. We're not handed over. We've now been given our freedom to move away from that into the new self. So the result is that we're in a continual and irreconcilable war in this world between these two men. If you look in your hymnal in the very back, I love on page 856, if you want to turn there, but I love the way our confession says it. It says on the chapter on sanctification at page 856, it's at the top of that page, paragraphs 2 and 3. This sanctification is throughout in the whole man, yet imperfect in this life, there abiding still some remnants of corruption in every part, whence ariseth a continual and irreconcilable war, the flesh lusting against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. OK, Okay, there is a continual and irreconcilable war between these two. Okay, but the major difference is one has been put to death and one has been made alive in Christ Jesus. Okay, and so this Claude said we had some white space in the bulletin if we wanted to put anything else in there. So I put this big chart in there. And there's a lot of room to expand this. I left room for you to fill in all the scripture passages. I didn't have time to do all that. But what I was trying to illustrate, though, is that here's one. The old man is the false self. And this is what, when we move over there, we can choose to live under that old self. Okay? Every one of us can do that. We can be Christians, but live as if that old man is still who we are. And that's what Paul says, stop it. Don't do that. Come away. Because in Christ Jesus, he has restored to us the freedom to move away in the power of the Holy Spirit, to move away, to shed that false self. To come into Christ, to have Christ formed within us so that our new self is put on. Our new self is put to life. Okay? Now, here's the thing. We need to understand something about this dead man, this old man that's within us. It was born when we were born naturally. And the only way for it to die is for Jesus to put it to death. Okay, we cannot put it to death. We can't kill it. We don't have the power within us to do it. But what Paul is saying to us is that's why Jesus had to do it. Just like Jesus, we can't cleanse ourselves. That we can't do that for ourselves. We need God to wash us and cleanse us. We need Him to dethrone and depower the old man within us. That's the way we get free from it. We were born in Adam, but how do we get out of Adam? The blood cannot take us out of Adam. There's only one way out, and that's through the cross. So to do away with our sinfulness, we've got to do away with this old man has to die, and that's why Jesus had to put it to death. Death is the secret of emancipation and freedom from this old man. Okay? So, there's this battle that's going on within us. And it's important to understand that as believers, that there is a war going on for you. And our enemy will exploit this old man within us to try to pull us away. There's a battle for God's dear creatures, the dear ones that God made and wants and has redeemed. And our answer is to lift up the cross. We cannot die on our own. Okay? We can't die on our own. Just like we can't live a perfect life. Jesus has to do that for us. And the reality is that Paul says, you have died. I gave this illustration on Wednesday night. I said, there's no need for us to pray, God, crucify me, crucify the old man within me. Okay, there's no need to pray that because it is dead. It's a fact, and we believe it by faith. It would be like this water glass saying, Lord, I pray that you would make me a water glass. I've always wanted to be a water glass. If you could just make me a water glass so that I could be filled with water, I would just love to be. It's the same thing for us. For us to pray, Lord, crucify the old man within me. And it feels like we need to pray that because the pull is so strong. But what Paul is asking us to believe by faith is Jesus took that to the cross. So that's the struggle. What do we do? Well, there is a way out, and Paul tells us that way out in Romans 6. But we come up with our own ways. A lot of us say, well, I'm just going to tough it out. I'm going to work really hard. I'm going to work hard every day. I'm going to be really consistent and try to suppress the old man and stuff it down. None of those strategies work. But God does have a way out. And that is in Christ Jesus. So the first thing that we need to do is we need to be willing, and Paul talks about this all throughout Romans, we need to address anything that's keeping us locked in the old man. Unconfessed sin. Okay? Deep toxic shame, a belief that I really am the old man. Okay? Lack of forgiveness of other people. Not being real with God. All of these things are barriers. They block our ability to move forward. Okay, when we've got unconfessed sin, or we're holding onto some grudge with other people, that locks us into the old man. Okay, God says you have to let that go. You have to receive forgiveness for yourself. You have to grant forgiveness for other people. Okay. A lot of us are locked into this old man side of the paper because of deep, deep shame. We really believe that we are that left side of the paper. And sometimes that can sound really godly. No, that's me. I'll never get rid of this. You know, it's worm theology. I'm a worm and I'm always going to be a worm. I'll never be anything but a worm. Okay, and that's, if we're not careful, look, we need to acknowledge our sin and be real with our sin. But God says, move away from that. Okay, worm theology is not going to, that keeps you in the old man. So deal with that. Be real with God. So deal with the barriers. But then Paul says in Romans 6:6, he says, we need to know that our old self was crucified. That's the next step. Is once you've dealt with any barriers, he says, know that our old self was crucified. Okay? This is not an intellectual knowing, but an opening of the eyes of faith and believing by faith that my old self has been crucified. Okay? What is true of your forgiveness of sins is no less true of your deliverance from sin. I believe by faith that the blood cleanses me, and I believe by faith that the cross gives me freedom. And then, he says, not only do we need to know it, he says down in verse 11, we need to reckon ourselves. Okay, look at what he says. So you also must consider or reckon yourselves dead to sin. And this goes, it's the next step. Not only do I believe it by faith, and accept it and believe it by faith. But then I begin to view myself. Say, God, that has died. Those sins that plague me and are seem so powerful in my life, those are dead. And I'm dead to them. You put them to death. Praise you, Jesus, that you put that to death in my life. We need to view our... That's what Paul is saying. I want you to stop, he says, viewing yourself on the left side of the page, and view yourself, consider yourselves the new man. That's who you are. Accept that you're a new creation. Receive the truth that you're a new creation. Receive what Paul is saying in 2 Corinthians 5:17, that the old is gone and the new is here. Receive what Paul says about grace. When he says, my grace is sufficient for you. It is. Because a lot of us don't believe that. A lot of us say, no, God's grace is not sufficient for me to put that old man behind me. And he says, yes, it is. My grace is sufficient for you. Accept that new identity. Receive that joy. Okay? Paul says in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And then this is so important for us to do. When we are struggling with a particular sin that seems so powerful, and it seems like the old man does seem so strong in our lives, we take that sin nature, that sin pull, we take it to the cross to die. And we present ourselves to God. We take it to the cross. We lift up the cross over that sin. Specifically. And, you know, for some of us, if we've been, you know, in bondage to a particular sin for a long time, maybe we need to do that. Maybe you need to do that with someone. Is that we pray, Lord, we lift up the cross over this particular sin. We believe by faith that you have put this sin to death and that we can walk away from it. We can put this, but now that doesn't mean we're not ever going to struggle with it again, or we're not ever going to sin again. But there's a difference in being in bondage to something and then sinning, okay? And putting it behind. He's saying, let it go. I think one of the best illustrations I could give you is actually a story from C.S. Lewis. I think it's Till We Have Faces. I'm not sure. I get all of his stories confused. But there's a story of a man who gets to the gate of heaven, and his wife is already there. His wife is a believer, is already in heaven, and she meets him there. And when the man shows up, he's divided. He's got this false self, and he's got this real, the person that he really is. Now, his real self, his true self, is short and disfigured and ugly. But the false self, the one that he wants everybody to see, is beautiful. He's tall and handsome, but it's not real. And they're chained together. They're chained. And so when the wife sees her husband come, she's so excited. She's like, oh, I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad you're here. I can't wait for you to come inside. But she'll only talk to the small, ugly man, because that's the real person. She won't talk to the one that's fake. She won't, because that's the old man. And I know it might be a little confusing, because one's ugly and one's beautiful, but he's saying that's the real person. He said that's, and that's who God wants. He wants the real person. That's who he saves. And so she's pleading with him to come in, but she says, just let him go. That's what she keeps saying. Just let him go. Just let it go. Let the old man go so that God can call you into who you're supposed to be, so that the new man can be brought to life. So that's why Paul says in Romans 6:13, offer yourselves to God, or present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. Offer every part of yourself as an instrument of grace. So we take our sins to the cross and we find deliverance. And it's like the hymn says, I don't know if you know this hymn, sin and despair like the sea waves cold threaten the soul with infinite loss. Grace that is greater, yes, grace untold, points to the refuge, what? The mighty cross. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Problem one. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that is greater than all my sin. And then he gives deliverance, and we lift high the mighty cross. In the presence of God, we approach the cross, and we take our old self there to die. That's all that's necessary, is to take our old self there to die. And the presence of the cross has power. That's where we experience the freedom. I think this is why Paul says in Galatians 6:14, far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. He took the world there and got it crucified and experienced freedom. Well, that's the long answer. Now, if that was too long, the short answer to why is the old man so strong is, well, Jesus hasn't come back yet. So that's the short answer. All right, well, let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for your love for us, and we praise you, Lord Jesus Christ, that you spilt your blood that we might receive cleansing and forgiveness of sins. And we praise you, Lord Jesus Christ, that on the cross you disarmed principalities and powers over us, that you defeated death, that even our old self was crucified there with you so that we can move on into newness of life. Father, we ask for grace to know that we have died. We ask for grace to reckon and consider ourselves dead in Christ. And we ask for grace where we are particularly in bondage and susceptible to the power of the pull of the old man. We ask for grace to take those struggles to the cross, to die, and to present ourselves to God, to you, in the newness of the Holy Spirit. And we make our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.